speaking to the public. And for example, in a meeting, what I feel is palms sweating, and I feel the heart beating faster as well. I cannot do anything. I didn't try any trick to stop the anxiety, to stop the stage fright. I start to speak and it goes. Once I'm, when I'm already speaking, the what I feel, the anxiety that I feel is disappear. That I don't have any trick to fight the fright, the stage fright.
What about the difference between sweating and sweating cold? So how do you prevent the cold sweats? That's a physical reaction to something that you feel is threatening to you. So what's the threat, you think?
The threat, I think that is do a mistake because I have a fright. I am worried about doing mistakes when I am speaking, maybe saying something wrong at a meeting, for example.
And how do you gauge the audience's reactions? Because that's important information, that's input that you process as you are speaking, so that when you reach the middle of your intervention, for example, you decide to change the way you talk, use a different intonation, look at people in the eye, use any of those techniques.
I don't look people to the eyes constantly. In my opinion, that's a little violent. I look to the eyes and
Yes, it
sometimes
is.
I look to the side. And what I try to do is relax myself, relax my muscles, but it doesn't work. The stage fright in my case disappear when I speak to when I start to speak.
Thank you,
Is
Carlos.
right
We'll get back to you in a moment.
is
Let's
right
go
in
with F.
the
Lopez now. Are you there, F.
Hello.
Lopez? Can you hear us? Then let's go to you, Jennifer. What makes you feel
Okay.
embarrassed? Apart from this conversation, what makes you feel embarrassed?
I feel embarrassed sometimes when, for example, I have to speak for a big public or for a big number of people because at the beginning I feel a panic attack. Because my heart racing, and at the same time it's like
Well,
I was in a shock because sometimes it's a mix between different feelings, like anxiety, cold sweat, fear, and different feelings that I stop me to speaking, for example, now with speaking English, it's difficult for me to speak with flu sorry speak fluently and explain my ideas like I will do if I speak in Spanish. And for example, this is one of these cases.
Now, this is a question for both of you. How do you break the ice when you find a new group of people to talk to, or when you feel yourselves in the obligation of speaking to someone who is previously unknown to you?
When, for example, if I if I am in a meeting, I feel this this feeling. If I note that some people are looking at me or hearing me, it's not a good experience for me. I prefer speak face to face in a small group, not with a lot of people.
So you work better in the short distance. What about you, Carlos? How do you break the ice?
Mm-hmm.
I
think that you must be careful of what you want other people to know about you, because there are some things that are private, and that's okay. But I don't think that you need to be overreacting about it. I mean, we are all people. We all have private lives. We all like to make photographs when we are, I don't know, at the weekend, having party with friends and such. And I think that you just have to have a clear concept of what aspects of your life you want to share with others, and what aspects do you want to yourself.
There is not a big variety of situation. There is not a large variety of situation when I feel nervous and when I have stage fright. It's only at the meeting. And the rest part of cases, the rest of the cases I situations I don't feel sweating or heart racing, things like this. It's only at the meetings in my case. I don't have to speak to a large number of people in other situations in my life.
All right. We're going to change interviewees. So I'll disconnect your video for a second, and then we'll open the conversation to a larger group. So thank you, and see you in a moment. Now, we need two more people. And let's try Igrala again. Let's see how your sound works. Hi there.
Hello.
We still have a little bit of echo with you. So we're going to interview you alone because we have an echo.
Okay.
And then we'll add you to a different conversation because I hear myself when I talk to you.
Oh, that's strange because I have headphones.
Yeah, that happens sometimes because each of you has a different device, a different internet connection and so on. But I'll try to keep my talk to a minimum so that we don't have the echo.
Okay.
Same question for you. How do you break the ice? Do you ever have stage fright? And how do you react in that circumstance?
Yeah, I feel also the stage fright, and I feel like palm sweating and heart rising, and I actually try to not look in the eyes of the people. I try to look like a little bit overhead and focus in what I'm speaking about. And I work as tourist guide, so many times I have the situation in which I have to speak loud and with a lot of people that I don't know, and it's a little bit also stress because all of them, they are looking at me, and it's also a little bit stressing. And I just try to focus like on the subjects. If I'm prepared, so I try to prepare a little and a lot my speech and the talk and the information that I want to give. So if I'm well prepared and I try to like only focus on the information and look a little bit above the eyes of the people.
Carlos mentioned earlier in his turn that he found a bit violent to look directly at people. So how do you avoid that from happening?
I just try to look like not here, a little bit here, so you don't see like people's eyes and that they are all the time observing you and what they are thinking. If maybe they are looking at the trees or they are just looking on the people walking around. So I try to look at the group and changing from one place to another and not only focus to one person, just to also not stress other people that I'm staring at you and at them all the time.
There is a little bit of an imbalance then. It's almost paradoxical because you have to look at a void in the middle of the room so that no one feels threatened, but everyone's staring at you directly.
Yes. But you have to like look at the people, but also to focus. It's more like in your mind that not have the miss and focus on what you are speaking about and how you are speaking, and not only in the eye contact.
Thank you. We'll get back to you in a moment.
Okay, thank you.
Let's change once again, and we'll get back to you. Thank you. So we have C. Valverde this time. Hello. We have F. López. And we
Hi.
Have Ibus.
Hello.
Hello, I can hear you, right?
I can hear you.
Hi there. And Ibostas, can you hear us?
Yes.
Hello, everyone.
All right, so let's change subject. Now we have reputation. How is your reputation affected by these phenomena that we have been discussing? We have several different circumstances with strangers, as we have been talking about, with co-workers, this is new, or friends and family. Special occasions are sometimes a bit embarrassing also. Then the audience doesn't have to be abstract and very populous necessarily, so that you feel, as we were discussing, uncomfortable, or in the extremest of cases, you fear that you look like an idiot. Then how do you protect this face? How do you protect this reputation,
well,
public or private?
My reputation, I don't take such a big care, because we live in a world that as we are most of the time in contact because of the different devices, I guess that everybody can know everything about you if you want to. So if I don't want, mm-hmm. for example, my children to be known in the internet or whatever, I don't download any picture or any information about them. But if I do, I have to know that everybody can know everything. So it is something that I don't protect, actually, because I only send the information I want to. So I don't know any other thing to say about it.
Then how do you decide between the extreme of absolute transparency, everything is open, or absolute privacy? You don't reveal anything. Does it depend on the context in which you're working or in which you are functioning?
I used to work in a science context. So for me, it is very good to share my information, my the things that I discover or my works and so on. It's very good for the science to be globalized, because something that you discover can help another one to go one step higher, and then he can help me. So it is very important, this collaboration among everybody in at the science field.
Now, F. Lopez, what do you think about this point precisely? Do you think that it should be bidirectional, if it happens, this sharing of information, or that there are certain respects in which it will never happen because there are other issues involved, for example, intellectual property, as would be the case in science?
Mm-hmm. I think that you must be careful of what you want other people to know about you, because there are some things that are private, and that's okay. But I don't think that you need to be overreacting about it. I mean, we are all people, we all have private lives, we all like to make photographs when we are, I don't know, at the weekend, having party with friends and such. And I think that you just have to have a clear concept of what aspects of your life you want to share with others and what aspects do you want to yourself. It's not necessary to hide anything. It's just a matter of being secure with yourself and deciding what you want to share with other people. And sometimes even some private things are good things to share, because other people can learn about it. Sometimes people can learn about your experiences, even if your experiences
are very private. What about the self-promotional purposes that you could profit from in those cases? Because if you take pictures of yourself in a certain environment, you could also use it to promote a product.
Yes, yes. You know, I'm not very worried about that, because I think that we all know that the rules of the game are that if you are in a public place, sometimes your image can be used, to promote a product or whatever. But there are laws that protect you against it. So if you really are worried about it, and you see one of your pictures, for example, in
there?
A public place,
because you left us without the final argument,
product that you are not comfortable with, you can always, use the law to protect yourself.
Yes. There was a gap in the middle.
Yes.
There was a gap in the middle. You can retake it from,
you
there are laws to protect you from, and then the connection was cut. We can hear you now.
Do you hear me? Okay. Yes, I'm probably, yes, exactly that. I was saying that there are laws that protect you from abuses of your image. So if you are really worried about it, you must know that there are laws that protect you. You can go, you can go to the police if you're worried about it. But I don't think that you should be over jealous about it, because it can be a thin line between being worried and being paranoid. And, you know, we are in a place, we are in a world where your image is almost
so I was
public thus,
your image is always public. How do you protect it?
I think that you should just be careful about what you want
to
share, because I think that there's a lot of people
family,
who worry
so,
about
for example, when I was
about their
child,
image, but then they are going
to
Instagram and Facebook and everywhere,
and
they post their pictures
then
without
this,
any
this
protection.
Thing,
that's what I was talking about at the first minute of what I was saying. You are the one who's
responsible
of deciding what you want to share and what you don't want to share. You know, I have seen some people posting in Facebook things like, I don't allow anyone to use my pictures, etc., etc., but then you see that they post pictures about everything that they do. So I think that you can protect your privacy only if you are careful and you want to protect your image. You just need to decide clearly what things you want to share with other people and what things you don't.
Now, what about the friends and family environment? How does privacy affect you in those particular cases, you think?
Yes, yes. When I saw the post that my friends put in Instagram or the Facebook, I think that they are happier than me in some cases, or that they have more friends than me and so on. Then I, at the end, I decided to not stay in all the time seeing that things, because it makes me feel as I don't know, as if I, como si, as
now,
I didn't have
that create
friends or
an imaginary
or social,
reality
or social life,
because everybody's so perfect in the social
then
networks
that
it could make you feel perhaps depressed if that is not your case, or the opposite, it could make you think that everyone is a hypocrite and that they should show a little bit of a more realistic approach to themselves. I see. So there are really two different spheres. This applies to science too, Sí, Valverde, because when someone wants to be at the top of the range in science or in the specific field, perhaps they try to perfect the results after the experiment has taken place, and that leads normally to a scandal and a retraction. How do you think, what kind of measures do you think could be introduced to prevent that situation?
I don't know how to answer this question, because I guess that it depends on the place you work. Sometimes you want to do something, but your boss or the person that are higher than you, they don't let you to do what you really want to. So I guess that if you think that you should share this information, I guess that you have to. So this is the only way to develop and to help all the world on the science field. I don't know if I really answered your
question. F. Lopez mentioned that you are responsible for your own... Sorry. F. Lopez mentioned earlier that you are responsible for what you upload, for whatever has your name on it. Is that always the case, do you think? Or does it sometimes depend on who you work with or the restrictions that contractually you acquire?
Most of the times it depends on the people. Depends on the people that you have hired on the top of you, or your boss. If you are not the boss, you actually can decide what to do with your job. Even if you work for the government, it's even, perhaps you can think that it is easy for you to try to contact with the other one and so on. But my experience tells me that it is very difficult to try to share your knowledge. It's not only you.
All right, and let's finish with this question for you three. If it is true that the virtual world may be a fabrication, completely imaginary, then why does it affect, especially when it explodes on people's faces, because there is a tremendous scandal, or when something illegal occurs, or when someone criticizes a person, when that person is on the floor, for example, and cannot defend themselves? How do you think you can protect your self-image or your reputation, as was the key term that we were using at the beginning, from any harm that the social networks or that background
that
online can create?
For
example, I think that it's very difficult to
protect.
No, you know, sometimes the phenomenon of trolling, for example, happens when there is an imbalance of power. So you and a mass of people who are anonymous attack a person who is defenseless at one point.
I know.
But that can explode on yourself.
I don't know what to say in these cases, because most of the time they are related with children and so on.
I mean that I think that it's very difficult to protect yourself from this type of attacks, because the network that is created nowadays makes impossible to protect all the people from these attacks, because of the technology. It's very advanced. So there are cases where people has been
any
attacked
more comments on this
there,
to wrap it up?
There are not the police have not find.
Let's begin with
Ibustas
and then we go back to you and we change
thing,
people,
so
right?
It's difficult.
Go ahead.
Sometimes I think that excuse me.
No, I mean, you can start, finish your sentence, then we go to him and we wrap it up there. So your turn, Ibustas 6. Thank you. Let's finish. F. Lopez, your turn.
I think sometimes the trolling, for example, can be just ignored. I mean, I have seen a lot of places where there's people who enjoy just fighting with each other and making arguments, and I think 90% of the time you just have to ignore some things, because it's not that important in the end. I mean, the real life is on the streets, and sometimes we just give importance to the networks and social networks, maybe too much. I have seen people that just answer comments on the papers, for example, on the web pages of papers, and you see that their only objective is to make everyone else angry, and sometimes the only way to defend yourself is just ignoring those kind of comments. And I think that in 90% of the cases, ignoring it just make it disappear. And when there's something
thanks
a little
three,
more important
change,
than that,
and then we go back
you
to
should
the end.
Maybe go to the police
you
if
moment.
You think that there's a harassment or something. But in most cases, it's just people that want to, you know, spend their time fighting
okay.
with each other, and you have to ignore them.
So we have Maite here, and Endeth. And
thanks.
Will you join us, Jennifer, again? So that we have a group of three people.
I have to go to... Sorry.
You have to go? Can you wait 5 minutes? Only 5 minutes. It will take you that time. The phrase that you have to discuss is the world-famous, all the world's a stage and all the men and women are merely players. How true is it today?
Yes, I agree with this quote because Shakespeare is the idea is the actual is sorry nowadays is like a present, not is a temporary idea. Is currently all the world is a stage and we are merely players in the theater.
So if we are players, who is writing the lines that we perform? Who is writing our actions?
Yes, and we have to play, we have to performance or life or all things that we say or we think are in the public eye all the time with our family or friends or wherever you want, or I think so.
Thank you, Jennifer. I'll let you go now. I know that you're in a hurry. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
So, M. Menendez and M. Erdocia, your turn. How true is it today that all the world's a stage and all of us are players?
Hello, Thomas. Sorry, the video cannot work, so it's without image. I agree with Jennifer that war is a war.
We can hear you both. Let's continue
Thanks.
With your intervention.
Yeah. My case, you mean?
The sound is fine, yes. Who's talking? Because I have both of the screens blank, so you tell me who you are and I'll tell your name.
Yeah. I am Marisol and I started, but
right
I don't
Menendez
know if the
or Erdocia.
At the same time. Sorry.
Tell me right now, who was talking right now?
Marisol, it's me. Marisol,
so, Marisol, your turn. Go ahead.
Thank you, Thomas.
Marisol, tell us, go on.
Yeah, I agree with Jennifer. I think she was that war is a stage, how William Shakespeare said. And we are here and we have a purpose, a destiny, and we can take advantages of our stage. And it's temporal, our path in the world. So we can do our best and try to act in the best way and take the better purpose of our stage. Mm-hmm.
I will ask you the same question that I asked Jennifer. If we are the players, who is the playwright?
The life, I think, no? That we have the life in our hand, which is a representation. And we can do our best according to our condition and what we have in our small world inside of that big stage. The life, I think.
Can Maite, you... are you there?
Sorry.
Good afternoon, Thomas. Can you hear me?
Aida, is it my Terdothi? I don't remember exactly.
Thomas, can you hear me?
How are you? What's your response? Go on.
I have problems with my computer.
Yes, I can hear you.
I couldn't hear all the speeches.
Then what subject would you like to tell us about?
My computer, my internet, I don't know. So I don't know about what to talk.
Then in your case, we'll go back to the stage fright and relating it to the performance that Marisol was telling us about. When have you felt the most afraid in a public occasion,
in a public place? A large public, especially when I don't know the people, for me it's a very embarrassing situation. So perhaps I will suffer for stage fright. I remember some years ago when I was a teenager and I was studying piano, when I had to do the exam, I remember that it was horrible because my palms were sweating, and I was suffering from like a panic attack. And perhaps this was stage fright. I have a very good, a very bad memories about the day of the exam, because the teacher, the examinator wasn't my teacher, so it was a new person and I have to pass the exam, and it was quite hard for me. I don't know if you could hear me. Thomas?
I think that's a especially difficult situation because...
Sorry, but I lost.
Yes, I could hear perfectly.
Yes,
I was saying that
it
was
you.
Especially... Yes, can you hear me? Okay, I'll write it in the forums.
Sorry.
I will write it here in the chat.
Yes.
That was a especially difficult situation, I think, because you were in an exam and you didn't know the person who was the examiner. But when you talk to a very large audience, something else may happen. Maybe some people in the audience are expert in piano, for example, and some people in the audience don't know anything about music. And you have to try to persuade them both that you're a good pianist or that you know about your subject. Then when it has to be you talking to a large audience, what's your technique? I think I asked Carlos the same question before, so I will include him in the conversation whether he likes it or not, and apply the same principle to the company part. So Carlos talked about a company and you talked about an exam. Let's begin with you, Maite, and you tell us, what's your technique to prevent some conflict from arising, some negative reaction?
Widely, and you have to feel confident that you are very good, for example, playing piano, and your piano play will be wonderful. So the first thing is to be confident. But for that, you have to train your head. You have to tell, I don't know, to teach your head that you are not going to suffer from a stage fright. You have to face this problem. I don't know how to say. Yes,
then you have to sclerotize, yes. You have to solidify your knowledge and try to prepare for anything that may occur. What about the business environment, Carlos?
Business environment. Well,
because you have to sell. At the end of the day, you have to make the money.
Well, what I do to avoid stage fright or the nerves is try to look into the eyes sometimes and look to the sides. I try to relax my muscles as well. For example, sometimes I realize that I have the the shoulders like this, and I relax them. I think that if I am relaxed, I will feel less nervous. The main thing is not look directly, constantly to the eyes. That makes me feel very nervous. That I think that this is the main thing that I do to avoid stage fright.
Marisol, how do you notice that someone is very tense when they are talking to you?
Normally because they tell you, for example, after a meeting and they ask some difficult question according so related to something that they didn't like it, and they ask you directly. So this is very embarrassed. But sometimes also due to the face, no? They ask you with a very strained and serious face. And
they look like a ghost.
Yeah, it happened to me once when I was giving a speech, and a person, after we were with the asking time, and he stand up and very serious, he asked me about a thing that it was in advance and it was not my business, and it was really embarrassed. But you can tell them something different, and we proposed him a new line, and he was okay, no problem.
You can always tell them that it's a very interesting question, but you don't have the information at present, right?
Yeah, it's not my business, it was another person's business, so I had nothing to do with that.
Maite, can you think about any other external signs of someone being very tense or insecure?
For example, for saying one word, you have to say the word in three parts, for example, or when you can see that the person is sweating, or I don't know, but I think that nowadays it's very easy to see if one person is nervous or not. Sorry, but... What?
Great. Thank you, Three. I'll get back to you in a second. We're going to change topic, and I'll get back to you in a second. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Let's disconnect here. I'll go back to Agrella, who hasn't spoken in a while. Hello.
Hello.
Are you still with me? Okay.
Yes.
Next topic we have is information overload, which is also related to being tense or insecure. What is too much information for you?
It depends on the situation.
What is too much information when you are watching the news on television, for example?
A lot about different stuff, and actually there is no topic at all. Maybe this case.
Then do you think that having a sufficient perception of what they are telling you, or having previous knowledge about the subject, helps to process whatever they are telling you?
Yes, of course. Yeah, if you're like if you know the topic that they're talking about, maybe you may react on the speech. But the television is quite difficult because there are so many different topics, and yeah, maybe on the news that there are things, a lot of information, and actually if you don't follow them, it's easy to manipulate with the information, because people doesn't know, people don't know actually what the problem is, or what things to focus.
Do you think that the way the information is organized or the speed at which it is conveyed may affect the way it is interpreted?
Yeah, of course, because the information actually is very difficult to be objective. It's always subjective. So the person that is giving the information is also somehow giving their point of view. And if you don't have your like own opinion on the topic, it's easy to follow the person.
Right. I see that we have no problem with the sound anymore, so I'm going to try and activate all of the videos at the same time, if you don't mind. Mm-hmm. And we are going to discuss the subject of trustworthiness, particularly related to information. And this connects quite well, I believe, with the very common topic of fake news. So what is fake and what is trustworthy? What is the truth and what is false? How do you distinguish it, and how do you cope with something that is untrue? Now, I activate Carlos and Si Valverde. And Jennifer, if you're still there. And Maite and Marisol. Is there an echo? Let's try. No, I don't think so. So let's get to the subject. How do you cope with fake news? How do you cope with something that is not very trustworthy? How do you detect it? We begin with iBustos.
Okay, I think that it's very difficult nowadays to distinguish from fake news and trustworthy information, because all information is given as good, as given as true. But in reality, there are a lot of interests, economic, political interests behind the information. So I think this information is perceived as real all the time. It's true, on the other hand, that there are a lot of information given by an official website and so on, but and this type of websites, but they are seen as fake news. The media and the big corporations make efforts to give that impression that these websites are giving only fake news. So I think it's very difficult, and we need education in that cases, education in schools for train children to distinguish from one thing and another.
Thank you. Si Valverde, these agencies that have been created to combat fake news, how will they work, do you think?
Not so good.
How do you decide what is true?
I guess that the only way is to compare different sources. For example, try to dial different radio stations or different TV programs and so on. But it is very difficult even for the people that are living at the same time, the same news. So what I mean is that when you are living some experience and there is somebody close to you, perhaps they are feeling the thing that is happening in a different way. So if they are a reporter or something similar, they can tell about this news in a different way that you are telling. I with this I want to say that it is very difficult to talk about something even when you are living in the same experience. So if you are listening to a new that you are not living at the same moment, it is even much more difficult. So for me, it is very difficult.
Thank you. F. López, Sí Valverde has spoken about difficulty. Do you think that the degree of difficulty that something may have and someone explaining it in very simple terms, which may not be true, makes that person, the one who's telling the lie, more credible? Let's try with you, Carlos, and we'll get back to F. López later.
Well,
I was having some trouble with the audio.
Okay, so F. López first and then Carlos, same question.
Okay, I was hearing to Sí Valverde until my sound went off. And I think that the best way to know if there's any truth on the news is what she was saying. I mean, compare a lot of sources. You have to be untrustful by nature. You have to be curious, and you have to read a lot of papers. You have to listen to different radios. And sometimes even you have to listen to the people that you know that you don't agree with. I mean, there's people who doesn't have your political interests, for example, but you have to listen to them, because sometimes the only way to reach the truth is to compare totally opposite sources. If you hear the same radio station, you will always have just one side of reality. That side of reality may not be fake, but it's just one part. And sometimes if you show part of the truth, really you're lying almost. So I think that the problem with fake news sometimes is not that they are false. It's because they are just a part of the truth that someone wants to show you, while at the same time is hiding another part.
Because it makes you feel warmer, more comfortable, perhaps?
Exactly. Sometimes you feel in your comfort bubble just hearing what you want to hear. Sometimes it's difficult to reach sources that you know that can have a difficult truth, because it makes you feel uncomfortable. But I think the only way to reach the truth is just that, just getting into the uncomfortable. Because, truth is that way. Sometimes the truth is not what you want to hear. But if you want the truth, you have to accept.
And Carlos, how do you prevent groupthink, which is all of our opinions are in agreement, therefore we are right?
The groupthink is a very difficult thing, in my opinion, because it's a situation where there is the most of the people having the same opinion and very few people have different opinion, and it's a very bad thing for the hospital. But the solution to solve that is try to say everybody what they really think. It's very dangerous thing for the minority, for the people that don't think like the main part of the group, or the most of the group. It's very dangerous because they could be taken apart, they could be excluded from the group. But I think that they have to say always what they think. It's the only way to, I think that this is the only way to avoid group think. And if they don't do it, if everyone don't say what they really think, the group think will destroy itself. Everything is going to disappear.
Now, Jennifer, should it be then the truth, only the truth and nothing but the truth, even if it hurts?
You need to contrast information every time always that you can, because universal truths, I think that they aren't, they don't exist, because different people can see different problems or issues in different perspective. For example, global warming is a topic that some countries are defending or fighting because the fault is the human beings, like other countries say that is a natural problem, and the human being is not guilty. Or for example, food transgenics, or the problem between Palestinians and Israelis, for example. There are different perspectives, and we don't have the truth. We don't know, because it's impossible, I think. But you can fight with information overload, reading, learning about different culture, different travels, different countries, different perspectives, etc. I think the education and the culture is the key, with different newspapers, watching different channels, TV or radios, etc.
Now, Maite, is a white lie admissible, or is it a lie anyway? A white lie is something that you tell a person so that they don't feel hurt when the truth would hurt them.
Sorry?
I was saying, is a white lie a lie that you tell a person when you don't know how they would react to the truth? Is it a kindness that you have towards them, or is it a lie of the worst kind?
Sorry, but I don't understand you the question, because when you are speaking, the conversation stops.
Okay, so I will try to write it in the chat, and in the meantime, I'll ask Marisol a different one. So, Marisol, does access to information guarantee that you are better informed?
No, I think it's important to check the source of that information, also the time, if it's a data from very short time, not long ago, and also to contrast that information with different sources. Because we work with information, and it's how you said, there are an overload of information many times, which take you too much time to filter, and you should contrast the source and filter and know if it's real information and it's true or it's not, I think.
So the abundance of information doesn't guarantee that the information can be contrasted or that it is correct.
Yeah, you should contract and you should check. Mm-hmm.
But we go back to Maite. The question is there. Is a white lie, a lie that you tell someone to avoid them being hurt, acceptable, or a lie of an even worse kind? When you're ready, answer, and we'll listen to you. Would anyone want to take it? Hey, Grala?
I think everything depends on the situation, because sometimes you are lying, but it's like to protect that person. And in this sense, it's better to lie just to protect the person, and after that, to just explain the situation and what happened. But maybe in this moment, it may help the person and doesn't, for example, like the consequences to be broke the relation and broke all the information that the person is receiving. And sometimes, like, just to protect and just to not to avoid, because if you are trying to avoid, it works. But if you want to protect a person and then you try to explain why it happened, I think it's acceptable. But everything depends on the situation, and it's very difficult for me to say, like, in general, that in any case it will be good, or in any case it will be bad.
Would you like to respond, Maite? Okay, this goes to F. Lopez. Do you think that lying to someone so that
yes.
they don't feel hurt is patronizing?
Well, I think that, like Agrala said, it depends very much on the context.
You will have to start again. We lost you there. Si Valverde, would you like to take it?
Well, I think that white lies they don't exist. I guess that a lie is always a lie. And if you don't tell somebody something because you don't want to hurt, perhaps this lie, it is going to grow, and at the end you are going to hurt in a very stronger way than the first time. So I guess that always you have to go with the truth every place, and if it hurts, perhaps the pain is not going to be as much as it would be if you don't tell this. Sometimes you think that the lie is going to hurt somebody, and perhaps later when you talk to these people and they say, no, if you, I guess that it is much better if you tell me the truth the first time, because if you don't tell, it is going to hurt me much more than what you want to say. So I guess that always the truth is the best. It doesn't matter if it hurts or not. The truth is the truth.
If Lopez, your response? Okay. Don't worry about the connection. If you can hear us, go ahead. Your turn. Fingers crossed. We'll go back to Jennifer then. Jennifer, information overload, that's the topic that we were discussing at the beginning. Can it cause a block, just like writer's block, block in your ability to concentrate, in your ability to focus, in your ability to be creative? Is too much the reason that you stop being creative, that you stop understanding?
To stop the information overload, to create a block is, it will be a good idea, because you can express your opinion and you can explain, because you have a different perspective or a different view about some questions or problems nowadays, and is a good job about concentration or creativity, because you can express your ideas, write about different problems. Say what kind of information or newspaper or different networks or social media that you can use to contract the information and explain what is that you are thinking about some different questions, and I see yes.
This is the mark of the last round of conversations. You have a few references in this document that I left you there, and they are also in the virtual course. Unit 4, the science of stage fright. This is a video presentation with some extra tasks to complete if you're interested in the subject. And concerning information overload, there is a technical text accompanied by let's say, dissemination-oriented one that you can access. But as I say, the links are either clickable from the PDF or in the virtual forums. To wrap it up, let's give some general recommendations now that we are in the third month of the C1 course. Igrala, can you hear us? I'm going to disconnect you and connect you just in case that helps. Agnieszka, are you there? Can you hear us now? Okay, in any case, it will be recorded, so don't worry. General recommendations about the course. The exams calendar is about to be published. That is the promise that we have from the Quid management. If you have any difficulty to understand it once it's published, don't worry, we will be there. So far, we are working with Unit 6. There will be a new written production assignment quite soon. It's the 5th of February. You will have 10 days to hand it in if that is your choice. And if not, you always will be supported in the forums number 6, writing practice, and number 9, written exchange production peer-to-peer. If there is any question, I will answer it now. And if not, I will say bye and stop the recording.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Only one question. Sorry. Marisol.
Yes. Tomás. Marisol, tell us.
Tomás, sorry.
Yes.
Did you correct it, the writing? It's because I didn't see mine, and maybe soon, no?
The writing should be corrected, but this time, in the first writing, I corrected from J to Z. This time I corrected from A to H.
Ah, no problem. No.
So I think if you...
Yeah, okay. No, I thought maybe I...
The... It should be published by now. That's the bottom line. Yes, Maite, are you there?
Yeah, no. Yes, well, no problem. It's because I didn't know if it was me that I didn't check it properly. Sorry. Okay.
It should be there. If that is not the case, please ask in the forums. And I think in your case, I didn't correct your work, but I will make sure that it is published. Don't worry. Maite, your question.
Okay.
Yes, one question. I have to ask about the exam, because I think that the oral exam and the listening is going to be for the grammar exam, before the writing exam.
The calendar is still not released, so we can't know for sure, but the moment it is published, we will let you know about the dates and times. And depending on your centro asociado, maybe they have a specific room as well. All of that information will be available soon.
Okay, okay. Mm-hmm. Because you sent, a handout about the exam dates.
Yes.
And I understood that the oral exam was before the writing exam. Perhaps I didn't...
It could happen. It could happen, but it's not the most common case.
Okay.
The order, the times, and the dates for 2018 are not yet official. But we have the slots are official. We know that it's going to be between that day and that day. But for the case of the C1 level online, we still don't know. But we are asking. We are pressuring the management. Don't worry.
Yes, but it's possible to do the oral before the writing exam.
Yes, it's possible.
Okay, okay. This was my question. Okay, thank you.
Any more questions? So thank you for coming once again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you. I'm sorry for my technician problems.
There's always some kind of technical problem. Don't worry.
See you. Bye.
Stop the recording now. It was fine, Marisol. Don't worry.